Hey, everybody, and welcome to the You Belong podcast. I'm your host, Aaron Argo, and I'm so glad that you've joined us today because I want you to know that you belong here. No matter what your past or what you've been through, God brought you here for a reason, and we believe that He has a plan and a purpose for your life. Now, let's jump straight into the message, and I pray that God both inspires and encourages you through this word today.
Good morning. How are you guys today? It is great to be in the house of the Lord today. On special days like this, I feel like my kids just know we're loading up and we're hitting the road, because almost every Mother's Day I speak somewhere, and it is a joy and an honor to go around Alabama and share God's word and encourage men and women alike. Today is a day that we focus on women and we focus on moms, and I know that that can be a lot of emotions for a lot of people because it's a day that comes with so many layers. You might be a mom in the room of a baby, or you might be a mom in the room with older kids, teenagers, and you know that the empty nest season is quickly approaching and that tugs at your heart today. Or you might be a mom of adult children, and some of you guys have children who serve the Lord. Some of you might have kids who you're waiting for your prodigal sons and daughters to return home. No matter where you are today, God sees you, and moms, we honor you today. We love you, and we're so glad that you are here today with us. I want to honor your pastors. Pastor Aaron and Amy are dear friends of ours. They've always been dear friends of ours, and they have been faithful in every season of ministry they've walked in. And I think that that really speaks volumes to them and about them, their character. They didn't have to be the lead pastor to lead well. And in this season, I'm so excited to see how they are leading when they get to be the lead pastors. But even before they were, they served well, they loved well. No matter where they're at, they've always loved and lead people well. So you guys are blessed to have them as your pastors. I think that's... today, I'm not really sharing a typical Mother's Day message. I'm going to share from John chapter 11, and it's a familiar verse of Scripture. It's the story of Lazarus, but I want to share it with you today, and I think there's some truths even for Mother's Day that we can grab out of this. I'm going to dive right in. It's John chapter 11, and I'm reading from the New Living Translation this morning. In verse chapter 1, it said, "A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, 'Lord, your dear friend is very sick.'" Don't miss the message right there. It said, "Your dear friend is sick." When John was writing this gospel, he just said this man from Bethany was sick. But when Mary and Martha wrote to Jesus, they said, "Jesus, your friend is sick. Your dear friend is sick, and we need you." And I came today, maybe you feel like if someone was writing your story, they may just say that lady from Anniston or that man from Oxford, "God, he's sick." But when Mary and Martha talked about him, they said, "Your dear friend." And Jesus calls you today his dear friend. In verse 4, it says, "When Jesus heard about it, he said, 'Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God would receive the glory from this.' So although Jesus loved Martha and he loved Mary and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. From the very beginning of the situation, Jesus already said, "Lazarus' sickness will not end in death. No, it's going to happen for the glory of God." And so today I came here to ask you, what do you have need of him today? What do you need of him today? Because whatever it is, whatever your situation is, whatever your issue is in life, God has already settled it in his heart what he is going to do for you. All he needs is for you to combine your faith with his ability, and that's when we see miracles happen. It's already settled in the heart of God, the issues that you're facing in life. When Jesus received this letter, he loved Mary, he loved Martha, he loved Lazarus, but he stayed where he was. And sometimes we don't feel like Jesus jumps into action for us right away. Maybe you feel like he's not coming to your being your saving grace immediately, right away. Maybe you feel like he has not moved in your situation. Maybe you feel like he's not working on your behalf. Jesus is not in a rush. He's not on our time. God's timing is perfect timing. And maybe you're sitting there and you're thinking, you know what, I made a request of him a month ago, 3 years ago, 20 years ago, and I'm still waiting on God. Can I tell you that there have been prayers that I prayed a long time ago and I wanted him to work on my behalf right then, right now. But fast forward years down the road, I can see that he had a plan. I can see that he had a purpose. When you walk with him and you stay with him, you know that his timing is perfect timing. In Romans chapter 8, verse 28, it says, "We know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love him and that are called according to his purpose." Do you want to know today what God can do for you? Do you want him to work on your purposes or do you want him to work on his purposes? Because I've been on both sides of those things. He's said, if you want it this way, do it your way. And then there's been times that I've surrendered and said, God, have your way. Can I tell you, it's better to be on his side of things than on my side of things. His purpose. I would have changed situations in my life a long time ago. But his timing is perfect timing. So Jesus, according to his purpose, he stayed put for 2 days in the story. In verse 7, it says, "Finally, he said to the disciples, 'Let's go back to Judea.' And his disciples objected, and they said, 'Rabbi, only a few days ago the people there were trying to stone you. Are you going to go there again?' And Jesus replied, 'There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people walk safely. They can see because they have light in this world, but at night, there is danger of stumbling, and they have no light.'" Have you ever felt like you asked God for something and he answered you in a riddle? Because that is what that is to me. But I think what he was saying is be less worried about people's bad intentions and more worried about doing what God has called you to do in the time that he has given you to do it. And I believe sometimes we can become so consumed with people's bad intentions that we just sit back and we shudder in fear instead of going forward in faith to what he's called us to do. We have work to do as a church, as the body of Christ. And God is saying, you have got time to do it. Get to it. Don't be fearful about the whispers that people say, about the naysayers. If God has called you to something, march forward and do it. In verse 11, it says, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I'm going to go and wake him up." And the disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant that he was simply sleeping, but Jesus had to get really plain with him and say, "I meant that the man has died." So he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I'm glad I wasn't there, because now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." And Thomas, nicknamed the twin, said to the fellow disciples, "Well, let's go too and die with Jesus." He's thinking, we almost got stoned the other day. Surely we're going to get stoned today. It's amazing sometimes something so final as death, Jesus just described as a deep sleep. Maybe today you sit here and there are situations in your life that you feel like are dead. Maybe you sit here today and you feel like there are situations in life that are hopeless. Whether it's a situation with your child, a situation in your marriage, and you think, this is it, it's done. This situation is dead. Maybe today that scripture was for you, and Jesus is saying, maybe it's just in a deep sleep, and it's time for it to wake up. It's time for some things in your life to come back to life. He says, we're going to go, and we're going to wake him up. What feels final to us sometimes with Jesus is just setting the stage for a miracle to happen. So many times I've prayed and I've thought, God, this would be a great time for you to show up. And then months and years later, when the situation comes to fullness, I realize His purpose is better than mine. He was still working on me in a situation, or he was still working some details out in that situation for me. And the disciples think he meant Lazarus was just taking a good nap. That sounds like every mom and grandma in the room when you don't feel good. Just go lay down, honey. Get you some rest and you'll be better. That's what the disciples thought. He was just resting, but Jesus said, he's dead, and I'm glad we weren't there, because now you have to believe when you see it. In verse 17, when Jesus arrived at Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in the grave for 4 days. That's important information for the Jews, because they had a custom that they believed when you died, that your soul somehow still stayed attached to your body for 3 days, and then after 3 days, it descended. So when they said, Jesus, it's been 4 days, they literally were saying, Jesus, you're too late. There's nothing left that you can do but pay your respects. So thanks for coming, but you're late to the party. And sometimes I think that's how we feel about Jesus in our situation is, God, I prayed that prayer and you didn't show up. So no matter what, now it's too late. But God, in verse 22, when Martha got the word that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now, I know, God, that God will give you whatever you ask. By the time Jesus received the note of Lazarus' sickness, he was probably close to death or already dead by the way that they had to travel in those days. And Jesus' decision didn't choose to move because of the weight of Lazarus's death or close to death. He stayed where he was. But even so, look at the faith of Martha. She said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died. But even now, God, I know that he will do whatever you ask. She had faith. I want faith like that. Sometimes Martha gets a bad rap in the story in the Bible. Everybody says Martha was so sweet and so kind because she stayed at the feet of Jesus while Martha was running around tending to everything in the house. And I think as women, we can all be a little bit more Martha than Mary at times, because we feel like if we don't do it, who's going to take care of all the little things? But here, it's Martha's faith that stood out to me. Mary stayed in the house. And I can tell you in that situation, maybe I identify with Mary a little bit more. Maybe she was saying, Jesus, we wrote to you. We asked you to come. Our brother was sick and you didn't come. Did you not get the note? Did you not get the message, Jesus, that we needed you and you didn't come? When I read this story, I feel like Mary's frustrated. As women, when somebody comes by our house, and especially a friend, and we don't come out to meet them, that means we're probably frustrated. We're thinking, my brother is dead. If you're bringing those funeral potatoes or chicken, whatever it is, you can leave it at the door because I don't want to see you. I sent word for you and you didn't come. I asked you to come, Jesus. So Martha went rushing out to meet Jesus, and he said to her, your brother will rise again. Yes, Martha said, he's going to rise like everyone else on the last day. And Jesus told her, I'm the resurrection and the life, and anybody who believes in me, even after dying, everyone who lives in me and believes in me, they're never going to die. Do you believe this, Martha? And she said, yes, Lord. I've always believed in you. You're the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God. Jesus starts the scripture off by saying, your brother will rise again. And she thought it was just kind funeral words. And she said, yes, I know, we're all going to rise again on that day. And he said, no, Martha, I am the resurrection. Do you believe? And she said, I've always believed. Can I tell you that's a tough line to say when your brother is dead in the grave and you ask for a miracle and you feel like it didn't happen? It's you, Jesus. I've always believed it was you, she said. I remember when my friend in high school, Jamie, got sick with leukemia, and we got news that things were not going the way that we thought they were going to go. We prayed for healing. We believed for healing. And her parents sent word, if you want to see Jamie before she passes away, you need to get to Orlando pretty quick. And at 27 years old, a girl who had served Jesus faithfully her whole life took her last breath before she was a mom, before she was married, before she got to do so many things in life. And I thought, Jesus, I don't understand this. God, we asked you for a miracle and we didn't see it here on earth. And there's times when things like that happen in life and you feel like your faith is shaken to the core. And I can remember sitting there and I was confused and I was hurt and I was frustrated at God that I prayed for something and I felt like we didn't see it happen here on earth. And in times like that, you might feel like your faith is shaken to the core, but it's in those times that God just simply is pruning some things off of you. He's saying maybe things didn't happen here on earth like you thought they would. Maybe some situations in your marriage didn't happen like you thought it would. Maybe life doesn't look like how you thought it was going to 20 years ago. But mom, as you sit here today, no matter the situation, no matter the things that God has pruned off of you, he is faithful. Faith doesn't wither when things don't go our way. Sometimes the only way to experience the depth of God is to know that he is walking with us through trials and tribulations. And so today, maybe you feel like, God, why have you chosen me to walk through this? Why am I the one having to go through this situation? Why am I having to sit and wait for you? I sent word and you haven't come to me yet. That's why Paul says, I want to know the Lord and the power of his resurrection. Jesus asked Martha a profound question that day. When he saw her, he said, do you believe? And I think that's why Jesus brought me here today to ask you, do you believe? No matter what the situation today, can you say, Lord, I believe in you. I've always believed in you. When you look back on your life and at the days to come, maybe this situation, you feel unseen by others, but to God, you are his dear friend. And today he is saying, do you believe? In verse 32, when Mary finally arrived and she saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and she said, Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And we look at that verse and we think, oh, she had the same response as her sister. Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died. And that was the same. But Martha went on to say, but even now, I know that God will give you whatever you ask. Mary just cuts it off. She's sitting in her grief. She's sitting in her frustration. But Martha still has faith. And maybe Mary was so frustrated because every time Jesus passed through, every time they opened up their doors to him, Mary would just sit at the feet of Jesus and soak up his presence. And Martha was busy around the house, but Mary had been in his presence. And she thought, Jesus, I asked you to come. Why didn't you come? My brother was sick, and I asked you to come, and you did nothing. And so she said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And in verse 33, when Jesus saw her weeping and he saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up with him and he became troubled. And some of us don't like to think about Jesus as getting angry with us or angry with anybody. And I think that's sometimes because when we get angry and we sin. We get angry and we say things to people we shouldn't, or we get angry and we do things we shouldn't. But that's not how God's anger worked that day. He showed us how to be angry and not sin. Maybe he thought, Mary, you have sat there for hours with me at my feet and you still don't get it. I think that's why he was angry that day. I think it was tied to Mary's unbelief, that she didn't believe. She just simply said, "Jesus, if you would have come, my brother wouldn't have died." Mary stood hopeless in front of the giver of hope that day. That's a hard thing for Jesus. And he became angry. And he thought, she cannot see that the hope of the world stands right in front of her. And in verse 34, "Where have you put him?" Jesus asked. And they told him, "Lord, come and see." And at that moment, Jesus wept. So Jesus goes from being angry to he's crying. And it's hard for us to see all these frustrations happening in Jesus. But he was real. He was fully God and he was fully man. And he weeps because of the emotions of that moment. This was his friend. This was his buddy. And he was fully God in that moment, but he was also fully man. And it's hard when you lose people that you love. And Jesus wept in that moment. And he weeps because of Mary's hopelessness in that moment. And today, Jesus weeps for us. It says when he was resurrected, he stands at the right hand of the Father and he intercedes on our behalf. He prays for you continuously. And I don't think he does it with no emotion. I think sometimes he gets angry and sometimes he weeps and sometimes he shouts in frustration. And that's okay. And God can take all those emotions from us. He doesn't care how we come to him. He just wants us to come to him. Are you hurt today? Because I think Jesus understands. And are you frustrated at some situations in your life? Because he understands. Maybe things don't look like how you wanted it to look. Maybe you feel like things are hopeless. Maybe you feel like some things in your life are dead. And today, Jesus is saying, just as he said in verse 39, "Roll the stone aside." And Jesus told them, and Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, and she said, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days, and the smell will be terrible." Those are just the facts. They were in the Middle East. It was hot. They didn't embalm people in those days. One translation says, "Surely he stinketh." Maybe your situation stinks. God is not scared of your funk, of your stink in life. Jesus responded, and he said, "Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe?" You've got to get some things out of your mind in the natural and shift them to the supernatural. "Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you would just believe?" Could the praise team come? The Lord has spoken his word today, and that comes with action sometimes. He's standing there with Martha in this story, and he said, "Roll the stone away." And he said, "Didn't I tell you that you would see the glory of God?" I don't know about you, but I can feel God's presence in this room today. And maybe he's standing right in front of you, and he's saying, "I came to seek and save the lost." Maybe you feel like your situation is dead and that you need Jesus to bring it back to life. He said, "Do you still believe that I can do that today for you? Do you still believe I work miracles?" Because he is a miracle working God. "Didn't I tell you you would see God's glory if you just believe?" In verse 41, so they rolled the stone aside, and Jesus looked up to heaven and he said, "Father, thank you for hearing me, but you always hear me. But I'm saying it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here so that they're going to believe that you sent me." I love that. He said, "God, you always hear me. I don't have to say it out loud, but I'm saying it out loud so that all these people will believe and that they will know that the Lord hears me." Maybe, mom, sometimes there are situations in your life and you just need to speak it out loud. Maybe there are situations in your family that you have been praying about in your prayer closet for years. And I'm so thankful for mamas that pray, and I'm so thankful that for spiritual mamas that pray. But can I tell you that the prayers you are praying in silent and in private, maybe today you need to start declaring and decreeing over your family boldly. maybe your sons and daughters don't serve the Lord, and when you get in their presence, you say, thank you, God, that for me and my house, we will serve the Lord all the days of our life. And as for me and my house, we will serve you with gladness, Jesus. They said, let them come into the house of the Lord. God, thank you that my children will come into the house of the Lord, and they will lift your name up. And I will declare it all the days of my life. Mama, walk in boldness today. Don't shy away from the goodness of God because your sons and daughters haven't come back yet. You start boldly proclaiming that they will serve the Lord all the days of their life. And you say it so not for your belief, but for their belief. That no matter how far I run or how far I try to get from this world of church, that Jesus is still calling me home because my mama will not quit praying for me. Some of you have been praying in your closet and you are scared that the devil is not going to let loose of some things in your life. But today I pray that you would start boldly declaring in the name of Jesus for miracles to happen. There is something shifting in the atmosphere in the United States right now. And sons and daughters will come home. In verse 43, then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And I love that because Jesus was mad and he was crying and now he's shouting. And he said, Lazarus, come out. And I just wonder what it sounded like that day when he said, Lazarus, come forth, come out of the grave. Can I tell you, when I walked the halls of Jackson High School with my friend Jamie, if I saw her up ahead of me in the stairwell and I shouted, what up, Jamie G? She knew that was me. She didn't have to turn around and look to see it was Tara. She knew my voice. And Lazarus was a friend of God. And I believe when Jesus said, Lazarus, come out, he already knew it was Jesus. He might have been bound in grave clothes and a head wrap, but he knew the voice of the Lord. And today, do you hear the voice of the Lord? Because he is calling your name. In verse 44, it said, and the dead man came out, and his hands and his feet were bound in grave cloths, and his face wrapped in a head cloth. And Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. It was personal to Jesus. It was an emotional situation. And scripture doesn't tell us what happened after that. All we know is that Jesus called a dead man back to life. And I believe in this room today, maybe you can hear him calling your name. Maybe you sit here today and you are far from God, but it was your mom's one request for you to come and sit in the service with her today. Maybe today is your day that Jesus is calling you to come back to him today. If so, it would be our greatest honor to pray for you, to pray with you. Or maybe you sit here in this service and you think, I have served the Lord for many, many days, but maybe you identify more with Mary in this story today. And as a mom, you say, I'm frustrated at some situations in my life. I'm frustrated because God has not come through on my time. I'm still waiting for him to come through on his time. And if you are sitting here today and you are frustrated or you're angry, that does not scare the Father today. And so I'm asking you today, if you sit here and you're disappointed or you're frustrated, would you come forward? Because I would love to pray for you today. It's Mother's Day, and there's a lot of special things that are going to happen this afternoon. But we don't have to bow our heads and close our eyes for an altar moment to happen. If you feel like you just need to step out, that Jesus is calling your name today, could I ask you to come to this altar and pray? And spend some time with the Father.
Thank you so much for joining us today, and we pray that you were blessed by the ministry of this podcast. Now, if you have any questions or comments, you can contact me personally at Pastor Aaron Argo at iCloud.com. And make sure to hit the subscribe button so that you'll know when we put out a new podcast and you can join us again. And as always, please remember, you belong here.